Okay, hello, welcome to the True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, and on Skype I have Norman Riley and Simon Campbell. We're here to talk to you about Watford versus Newcastle United, or Newcastle United versus Watford, to give it its proper title, this weekend at St James's Park. Lads, I sent you through the running order. We have questions to answer, we've got stuff to talk about, but I completely forgot there's been a little bit more takeover stuff. So this week, it's been reported that a £300 million bid with various... What's the right word? I don't even know.
Caveats.
You what?
Caveats?
Yeah, caveats, yeah, sorry. has been submitted to the club and the club have rejected, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. We can't speculate. We need Mike Ashley to sell the club. We've talked about it before. Norman, where's Berkshire?
Where is Berkshire?
Yes.
I believe Berkshire's to the west of London, and within Berkshire you will find, if I'm correct, Windsor, which is one of the official residents of the royal family. There you go.
You'll also find Mike Ashley. Mike Ashley.
Oh.
Spends. I know that was. I wasn't going down the royal family route, but you know, good knowledge. What would you know? You know when you hear people are talking like you know Celtic fans reckon they took Paris last night. What would we have to do to take Berkshire? I don't know. I've never been. Very little.
I would imagine very little. Just turn up with a few, like, you know, a few tattooed, shaven-headed Geordies and a fair belly full of ale, and I think you'd panic the local populace out. Or you might get shot. So, you know, by one of the landed gentry. So,
yeah.
You get tooled up. But I reckon we could do it. I reckon a box of, like, mixed draper tools and four or five lads tanked up would be fine. You'd take the whole county.
We're just trying to... How can we take the fight to Mike Ashley if he doesn't sell the club? Not suggesting any physical violence, of course, against him. Just
taking up tools and marching to Berkshire.
No, but then we'd just go into his local pub and ruin it for him. We're just like, you know, those arseholes who would go into a pub. I can't imagine who would do this in their youth, but go into a pub, put like a fiver in the jukebox and just put the same shit songs on over and over and over again. That really wound people up in like 2007, so... Maybe it works these days, but Mike Ashley needs to sell the club. We don't know much more than that, but it's a real... I think someone on Twitter this week said it's the most important few weeks and months of the club's existence since the latter stages of the 91-92 season. When Keegan saved the club. Someone did a documentary about that. You should listen to it. But yeah, so massive, massive stuff in that respect. But we're not really going to concentrate on that today. We are going to talk about Newcastle United versus Watford. And lads, I'm gonna start and tell you why I'm very excited about this game. Just realised we're on camera here, and I'm like not even looking at the camera. I'm looking at my notes, but we'll iron that out in the months and years to come. So lads, we're playing Watford this weekend, and it's a little bit back in the future because we're going back to our three games in a week. It's almost like being back in the Championship. We'll have West Brom on Tuesday. Me and Norman will be there. Hopefully Norman has time to do a podcast afterwards. We'll see. So three games in a week, and it's like the Championship almost, where weeks have the chance to kind of change seasons completely. You look at Palace this week, 9 points up for grabs. If they were to take 6 points from 9 games, they're in mid-table. If we were to lose all our games, we're probably close to the relegation zone, not that I think we will. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and about how big this week is. But for me... it's a massive game this weekend, and it's a nice kind of massive game. Now, we haven't lost 4-0 in a row under Rafa. I doubt very much he plans to lose this game, not plans, but thinks we'll lose this game. But there is that kind of threat and that fear that if this game doesn't go well, the wheels will have well and truly come off, or some people will argue that point. I just think it's a pressure game. The players have to perform, and I don't know about you lads, but it really reminds me of the West Ham game. Went into the West Ham game off 3 defeats. I know you can call Forest a draw, and we will call it a draw, but you could argue it's 3 defeats. You know, I don't know, Norman, I'll come to you. Like, how big does this feel to you in terms of the context of the season? And, you know, we can't really contemplate the defeat, can we?
It feels huge when you look at the fixtures immediately after it. I mean, West Brom fixture, had Pulis have still been in charge, that would have given me more confidence. However, if they do announce a new manager, you know, on the eve of the game against us, then that might change it, because, you know, it's cliched, but a lot of teams, maybe bar Sunderland, do get a new manager bounce. And by Sunderland, I mean obviously they lost the other night under Chris Coleman. So it's, you know, looking at Chelsea, you've got Chelsea after that, and then the Leicester and Everton games, again, they could be potentially massive, because then we've got that run of fixtures, which is, it's a really tough run of fixtures. And obviously, over the Christmas period as well, a lot of games come and think, and fast them are quite, I mean, we do have quite a small squad. We've got the same amount of bodies as any other squad, but, you know, we've got like sort of 16, 17 players who we can rotate. So are 3 points vital? Well, yeah, you've got to say that they're vital, but again, if we don't get them, there won't be a panic, but I think there'll be more of a concern after the Burnley defeat the other week, because obviously the Burnley defeat was the first one in a few games, and now we've lost the two matches since that, so this game does take on extra importance, and it'll be a tough game, and it's a really difficult one to call, but I think 3 points are very important.
Si, is a draw a good result this weekend?
On its own, no, but I've gone for a draw in my preview, and I'd take a draw, assuming we get something out of the West Brom game as well. You know, two results or two non-defeats would be enough, I think, just to kind of keep our heads above water. And I know we've got some hard games coming up, but I just think we need to avoid defeats here and kind of remind everyone that we're still, you know, a team that's hard to beat. And that we'll get points in games. We've had a bad run, but I'll take a draw now, and then go into the West Brom game feeling quite confident we can get something again.
You know the thing for me, Watford have 18 points, four more than us. You look at their season and you look at their results, and they're not a million miles different. And Watford are the one who spent a lot of money, they spent heavily. Watford are the ones who are the manager and the team are gaining a lot of praise. You look at their wins, the one at Bournemouth on the opening day, I think 2-0, which Bournemouth were in that slide. Bournemouth are a good team, we've talked about it. They lost to Stoke at home, we beat Stoke at home. They beat West Ham at home comfortably, we beat West Ham at home probably more comfortably than they did. They got a good result at Southampton, 2-0 win, we got a good result at Southampton. So there's a lot of similarities there. You know, they beat Arsenal, that's probably the one difference between the two of us. But I mean, I don't think we've really had a chance to play. You know, Arsenal are, in my opinion, are below your Liverpool and your Spurs, the two, and your Man United, the games we've had so far. So, you know, differences that the lost at Chelsea, to be expected, kind of similar to our loss at Man United, put in a good showing. They also lost in the last minute at Everton, and those two are the only two away defeats. But if you look at it, 14 points compared to 18, that's why it's a big game, because I don't want to be going 7 points behind Watford at the start of December. I think we are in... You know, you could argue Watford have better players, and they probably do have better players across the squad. But in terms of our ability as a defensive side, as an organised side, and our ability under the manager that we'll have a better manager than they do, in Marco Silva, in my opinion, I think we should be in and around Watford for the rest of the season. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, and, you know, January comes, and Watford might spend heavily, we might spend heavily, neither of us might spend, we've got the sale, we've alluded to, all that kind of stuff, so... It's just a massive game in that context. And I take it back to the Palace game when we did the Palace preview a few weeks ago. I said it would be a huge deal for Palace to go 11 points, 10 points, 11 points, 12 points, I can't remember what it was, behind us, and they did. And ever since that game, Palace have not been a consideration to us, whereas if we'd have lost that game to Palace, would have really been considering them, looking out for the results. And I want to be looking at Watford's results moving forwards. I want to be thinking, right, how have Watford got on? How have, I'm trying to think of other teams around us, Brighton, Huddersfield. At the moment, I think it was you, Norman, said that you think, you know, you still think Huddersfield will go down. That's one thing. But if you want to look at about the teams in and around mid-table compared to the teams at the bottom of the league, this is a big game to do it, because we can't go 7 points behind them with West Brom and Chelsea away. And we might surprise ourselves at West Brom and Chelsea away. Maybe we'll get 6 points unlikely. Watford have got two home games to follow. Let's not fall behind the chasing pack, because against Palace we were sixth and we've dropped off and we're kind of stuck in 11th place. So big game for me for that reason. But I enjoy these big games. That's why we go. Like last season there were a lot of big games, but it wasn't the same buzz. It wasn't the same feeling. It was always like if we're lost, you know, we got beat by Fulham. I know there was some ridiculousness on social media and people getting angry and stuff like that. But we're still going to promote it. If you listen to this podcast, we're very much banging that drum for a long time. Whereas if we lose this weekend, who really knows? Who knows how this young team reacts? Who knows how will react at West Brom. And I suppose we may as well get into the match itself, Norman. If we are going to beat Watford, how are we going to beat them? And what have we got to do to beat them?
I thought the question was never coming there.
What have we got to do to beat them? Have you gone?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. Your picture's gone. What have we got to do to beat them? Well, I mean, you know, obviously, if I was going to advise Rafa, if you look at how Watford play, they're an attacking side. They've conceded a lot of goals, and yet, to be fair, you know, I think 40 of them came in three matches. They conceded six against Man City, four against Chelsea, three against Liverpool. But one of the reasons that they got so battered of Man City is because they kind of stuck to that attacking game that they play, and I don't think that'll change. I've looked through their possession stats in all their games this season, and in a couple of the away games they've actually had more of the ball than the home side. And in the other games, it's been fairly balanced. So I think, you know, Silva'll set them up to attack, and I think that's where we'll get joy. If we, against Man U, we actually came out and you know, we really went for it, which was brilliant to see. But I think with Watford at home, if you look at their wing backs there, especially if they play with them, Femenia and possibly Hollebas, they really bomb up and down the flanks, and I think we'll get a lot of joy behind them. So if Atto's back, I don't know if Atto is back, and if he isn't, then obviously, I can't see why Murphy would be dropped, given that he did so well against Man U. But I think we're going to need to be looking to target their wing backs and getting them behind them. And I'd like to see Hosolu and Gale up front again, because I think they have shown signs of working well together. And if the ball's put into the box from the flanks, then I think it's centre half. Mariata is always a little bit shaky, I think. I can see Hosolu dominating him in the air, and Gale's always there to snap up any kind of loose balls. And also Gomez as well, he's one of those goalkeepers that if you do get plenty of crosses in, he's always liable to make a mistake. So I think just let them attack like they will, and just get in behind them when they're pushing up, because they will press.
So what do you think we'll have to do differently then? So that's them, and that's what we need to do to counter their threat. What do we have to do, Norman, in comparison to the last three games or the games we've lost this season, to try and avoid a similar scenario?
It's difficult to say, because I mean the games against Burnley and Bournemouth, the 1-0 defeats, we kind of stuck at that game plan we've been using all season, and it just didn't come off. We didn't really get much in the way of clear cut chances. But then against Man U on Saturday, that first half hour, we really pressed, and we almost, I mean, I might be using the wrong word here, but we kind of dominated the game. And part of me would like to see us go out and do that. And against Watford at home, there is we can't. But as I say, because of how we play, there is a part of me thinks that if we switch back to that kind of allowing them to kind of dictate the ball up to the final third of the pitch and do nothing with it, because that's more or less what's happened in most of our games this season, up until like the last the second half against Bournemouth. So I think that we've just got to just be patient, allow them to attack, and then just hit them on the flank. That's in terms of what we have to do differently, really, really difficult to see. I think that there are two ways of looking at it. Let's go like against Man U, or let's just wait for them to attack us. And I think I'm probably going to go for the latter, given how Watford set up, and given the likelihood that they're not going to change that particular style of play.
I know this sounds ridiculously obvious, and it is. We need to score when we start like a house on fire. So against Bournemouth, that the performance for the first 25-30 minutes was so far superior to Bournemouth. Bournemouth, in my opinion, couldn't have complained to being 2-0 down at that point to reflect our dominance. You know, so that's crucial that we'll make it count. And you can argue that we did that at Old Trafford. That positive start was rewarded with a goal. So positive signs there. And obviously every team that starts, well, any team that plays wants to score. And when you're on top, you need to score. But that, you know, it just sounds so obvious, but the first goal is so important with us. I can't see us losing a game because we defend so well once we've taken the lead at home. Man United is a different kettle of fish. You know, I think it's so important that when we're on top, we make it count, and we accept as fans, and it's going to happen, that, you know, if we're going to have 10, 15 minutes of good stages, and then we're going to give Watford the ball, because we've been here before. We know what we like to do at home. We like to play on the counter-attack. We like to defend. We like to give the opposition the ball. Watford had 63% of possession, Evan, and still got beat. 2-0 up with like 15 minutes to go, and the keeper got injured, etc. But For me, that's a big one. Making sure you make it count when you're on top. Because if we're on top for 25 minutes in the whole game and they control 65, you know, we're good at doing what we have to do in that 65. Therefore, in our 25, we've got to make sure that we'll punish them, or if we have the chance to punish them, it happens. As own, like I was saying on the video blog me and Si did yesterday, if you've not had a watch of it yet, please do. I'll put the description and all the link in the description of this podcast. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Got lots planned for that. You know, I was saying that, you know, we've been a bit unlucky. We've had some wonder saves, we've had posts, we've had near misses and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's only so long you can go on saying stuff like that. We just need to start sticking the ball in the back of the net, Norman.
Agreed, and I think we will against Watford. I mean, they're defensively pretty poor. I think they've got the... I think you've got three teams on, like, 24 goals, one on 25 and one on 26. So they've got, like, they're in, I suppose, the fourth highest amount of goals conceded. And I think we'll get... I can see us getting a couple of goals, especially with Gail being back in the side. Gail's goal, I think, against Man U on Saturday was massive. And the fact that he played so well on top of that... And in the previous game against Bournemouth, he played the whole match and he got into a couple of good positions. He's a very welcome sight in the side, and I think we're going to cause him problems at times, because as I say, they're defensively weak and we are looking a lot more dangerous with Hosolu and Gale up front than we were with Perez and Hosolu. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from Perez because of the style that we were playing. His work rate tied in with that. But with Hosolu and Gale, it's almost like we've naturally become a bit more attacking. And I want to see that continue. And like you say, you know, again, it's cliche, but the first goal is massive. And if we get a goal early on, I can see us getting a second, because they will go for it. They won't sit back and think, oh, we're 1-0 down. Let's just try and save the next 20, 30 minutes and maybe then start putting pressure on. They'll just keep going for it. And that's where we're going to really hit them. So getting a goal in early, I think if we get a goal early, we'll go on and win the game.
Si, three games this week, and as I said at the start of the show, it takes us back to the halcyon days of like a couple of months ago when we had three games regularly, would always do well. You know, that, you know, was that famous week we had when we went to Huddersfield and went to Brighton and won and got a draw at Reading. You know, where do you see Rafa going in terms of rotation? Do you think we're going to go back to last season where me and Norman, or people watching on telly or listening on radio, will turn up on Tuesday and think, you know, Mbemba, like, where's he come from? Kieran Clark at left back. Or do you think, because Rafa pretty much has a settled team, that's the side we're going to see over the next 7 days?
I think he would like to be able to rotate, because he always will when we've got three games, and it's three games in 7 days, but something like nine games in 30 days, it's going to be a hell of a month. But you have to really kind of look at the squad and think, where is the room for rotation? He's not going to want to rotate centre-halves unnecessarily. You know, Clark and Lejeune will play until Lascelles is fit. Dummett's back in training, but I guess it'll still take a few weeks before we'll see him. So really, we've got two fit full-backs, two first-choice centre-halves. All right, and Mbemba could probably get in there, but he's not going to mess around with the defence. Centre mid, Marino hopefully comes back in for this one. So there's three options there to play with. So that all three will get games. Then on the wings, Atsu's injured, and we've got Richie and Murphy. So I don't know where he goes with rotation there, unless for some reason Rolando Ahrens can find his way back on the side. The mystery that continues, which then puts you in the front two. And Hosolu and Gale, I think I totally agree with what you've said. I'd like to see that partnership continue, because there's been some real signs there of some attacking intent, and that's what's been missing. So in terms of rotation, I guess the question is, will Mitrovic get some game time at some point in the next week? And yes, he will, because he has to. Because I can see this game going exactly as I said. We need to get a goal in the first half out, playing the same way we did against Bournemouth and Man U, taking the game, you know, starting like a house on fire. If we get a goal, or if we're 1-0 up or 2-0 up at half-time, then one of Gale or Hosolu might have to come off, and we'll revert back to the style of the earlier games this season and just kind of go into lockdown and go back to 4-2-3-1. Hosolu up front for as long as he can last, and then maybe get Mitrovic on to see if he can make another one. But yeah, I'd like to see a rotation, but what rotation really is there to choose from?
You know what's weird? And a totally non-related note. I was writing the special today, which is, if you're listening, please subscribe to the Match Day newsletter. This podcast is a series of requests of me asking people to do stuff, isn't it? Subscribe to the Match Day newsletter special, the special from True Faith. Me, Norman and Si all write for it. It's a Match Day newsletter, directly mobile phone, free of charge. Just loads of patter about the match, really, from dead good people. But yeah, I was writing that, and I also said, I was talking about positive starts and all this kind of stuff and the things we're talking about now, and I was like, we either start like a train or like a house on fire. How are either of those two like phrases remotely applicable to anything? Like a house on fire is not a good thing. Like, I want to start like a house on fire, and you know, the start of like a train will, I don't even ask, trains start relatively slowly when they pull up a station, but I'm being ridiculous now. Yeah,
true,
it is true.
Trains don't if a train left, like a train left the station, let's say its top speed of 120 miles an hour, that would be really dangerous. Yeah. It would be dangerous for the public. So to say you thought like a train, it's just fucking ridiculous, to be honest with you. I'm never going to use it again.
Thank you.
The practice squad rotation.
Oh, yeah.
I think my point was, even last season, it happened a lot when we had loads of games, but we had squad players in the likes of Gouffran, Anita, and really, we've kind of, the squad's thinner now than it was, and that it's kind of, it's going to get exposed, I reckon. So we need to take points from this sort of game.
I was just thinking about him, you know, he's just the kind of player who we could have done with, and I know Rafa did want to keep him for a season. Not Anita, obviously, but Johan Gouffran, I think he would have been, I know he got so much stick over the years, but he just would have been like, you know, half decent in this situation, rotation, not always worthy of a place on the bench, but to come in and do a job. You know, and he would have helped Mankeo on a lot, I think, defensively, compared to maybe Richie or Jacob Murphy or Atsu. But anyway, he doesn't play for anymore. You know, Si, Isaac Hayden's suspended for this one. You've said Marino, hopefully he'll be fit. That's the hope. I'm not convinced Rafa will start him. I hope I'm wrong. I have a feeling we're going to see Modiame in the centre midfield. What I'm concerned about is we looked so open through the middle of the pitch against Bournemouth and against Man United. I suppose maybe you could put that down to the absence of Perez, but it's probably not as simple as that. I mean, Perez came on against Bournemouth and we looked as open as ever. But do you think, Si, that teams have started to work us out a little bit in terms of the counter-attack?
Possibly were, and I think that's why he's had to make some changes. And I think Gale refining his form is really important. So, you know, if we can get the Dwight Gale of last season, then no one's found anything out, because he's a threat to anybody. But I think you're right. I think the Perez-Hosselu lineup was getting quite predictable. It's, you know what's going, you know what we're gonna do. Hosselu, just mark him tightly. If he wins a ball in the air, it's not really going to go anywhere with Perez looking on for scraps. It's quite easy to defend against. So Gales gives you a totally different thing to think about. So whilst Perez's defensive work is now lacking, or might be a little bit more exposed, you'd like to think that it kind of forces teams to play a little bit deeper and lets us get forward and lets Shelby come away from our 18-yard box, because I'm kind of a bit sick already of seeing him collect the ball so deep.
Yeah.
And then have to find a 60-yard ball. So I'm hoping that scales impact on the team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a difficult one in terms of how we set up. If it is a Diarmé and Shelby partnership, they're both ball-playing midfielders, one better than the other. Mo is obviously better at carrying the ball, but I would worry about the, you know, if we're playing that 4-4-2, even though Gale's going to play slightly deeper, I'd worry about how easy it would be for Watford to get, you know, to be able to run at the back four. And we saw a couple of times on Saturday, I'll come to you, Norman, we saw a couple of times on Saturday against Man United where they were putting balls, even at 1-0, that was in and behind the back four. And that in itself isn't a massive problem. So we've got good defenders. It's a problem when the defenders have got no idea what the goalkeeper's going to do. And therefore you saw two farcical situations where Rob actually came out against Man United, and our centre-backs just had to run round him with the ball. I've said it before, these aren't the kind of things you normally see in top-tier football. So I'm concerned. I'm not saying we're going to lose the game. I'm not saying I don't think we're going to win, but I'm concerned. I think it's a problem that I haven't seen Rafa plug in the past couple of games. But you know, that's what this this Saturday is an opportunity for, Norman.
Right, so two things. I'm going to go full Football Manager mode here. But, right, there's zero chance of Mbemba coming into play in that Isaac Hayden role. When I say the Isaac Hayden role, in this particular match, I'm talking about the defensive screen, a role that he has played in international football for a good couple of years now, and he's capable of playing, and Rafa's even said it, zero chance, I'm guessing, by your facial expression, that's what I'm that's what I'm taking. The other one as well is, again, and it's going to sound ridiculous, but Kieran Clark has played as a defensive midfielder as well. So if Lascelles is back...
He's out. He's
back.
Lascelles not, so definitely out.
Scratch that then. neither of you believe that Mbemba's got any chance at all of playing that role now?
I'd love to be wrong, and you're right, because what happens if Diarmé gets injured or sent off, and then Hazen's like literally, we've got Diarmé, we've got Marino, I suppose. We've got four. There's four of them there. You know, if beyond those four, you could argue he's not going to bring Colback back, but you could argue yes, he could do it. I can't sit here slagging off Mitrovic's like lack of relevance in terms of his international appearances to Newcastle, and then say, oh, you know, Chancel's been smashing it for the Congo in DM. Yeah.
Equatorial Guinea are better than Andorra,
I was speaking to a lad at work yesterday now who'd been to the Congo, and he was saying it was quite nice, and I was like, was there not a civil war? And he was like, no, that's DR Congo. And I was like, oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, I don't know. Sorry, me, African politics is a little bit off there. He was absolutely disgusted. Anyway, getting off topic again. Si, why have you gone for a draw then in the match preview? Well, give your listeners, your readers a little bit of a, you know, behind the writer's shield here.
Because Watford are good.
Although, they've only got four more points than us.
I think, like Bournemouth, they've got a more attacking threat than we do at the minute. I think, obviously, Troy Deeney's a very good striker. They've brought in Andre Gray, who's not even hardly had a kick this season. And that, who's the lad who's been scoring all the goals for them? Richarlison, hardly said his name.
They've got
a threat, and we're missing Lascelles. I think they've got a goal in them. We've got a terrible goalkeeper. But you know, we'll get something from the game. I'll take a draw. As long as we beat West Brom, who are much worse on Tuesday.
It's big ask though. First of all, Troy Deeney suspended for the game. Yeah, so he'll not play. But I think we'll have to win. I know I'll be, you know, content with the draw. I'll be driving down to West Brom on Tuesday, and I still think we'll beat West Brom. It is looking like it'll be Alan Pardew's first home game. And he always starts well. And but I just think we'll have to win, because if you can't beat Watford at home, it's hard because there's such fine margins in football. We saw that against Bournemouth. So you can play like we did against Palace and take 3 points and create literally nothing apart from the goal. And then you can create 4 or 5 expected goal opportunities against Bournemouth and get fuck all from the game. So I just feel like it would just settle the nerves of the region and the city and everyone listening to this. If we can get that win, we can go to Watford and Chelsea with the pressure off and think, right, we've got Leicester at home to follow. You know, if those two go wrong, we're a difficult team to play against, but we're also an easy team at times to defend against, and that's my worry. And you know what, that's one of the reasons I'm excited for the game, because again, it's a fantastic opportunity for us to see where this team are and where we think they're going to end up. Because if we lose today, December's always beat today. If we lose on Saturday, December's always been described as a very difficult month for United. There's a lot of difficult, you know, there's away games in there. It's West Ham and Arsenal. There's home game against Man City, away game at Chelsea. You know, so there's loads going on there. There's Stoke away on New Year's Day. So it's a massive game for that reason. I think we need to be winning it. And if we don't, and we'll reassess. And I'm sure Rafa won't panic. But we're just starting to get a little bit close to that relegation zone, and we haven't been near it. I think we're 5 points off it before West Ham play tomorrow night, which is a Friday. So I don't know. A win for me, that's what I think will happen. That's what I hope will happen. Norman, yourself?
When I was writing notes for this, my instinct was twos each. A high score on Joe because, yes, we are good defensively, but they're really good going forward. And they're really terrible at the back. And I can see it. Yeah, I can see, as Saj predicted, a draw. And I've got a 2-2 feeling to it.
A 2-2 feeling. I mean, that would be an enjoyable game, but... You know, this weekend's an interesting weekend anyway for the other fixtures of the Premier League. You've got teams, you know, the top six, none of the top six are playing each other, so therefore there are six teams that will probably get beat. That's always good when you're in opposition. But you've also got Swansea-Bournemouth, big game for Swansea, that big game for Swansea and Clements. He doesn't want to be losing that, or he'd be in serious trouble.
Or if you lose that, I think you'll go.
I agree. You've got, obviously, Palace-Stoke. I mean, I was speaking to a friend this week, and he was right, he reckons Palace are going to Stoke. And I said, well, they couldn't beat Everton at home. They couldn't beat West Ham at home. They couldn't beat Swansea at home. Who can they beat? Even though they put in a reasonably impressive display at St James's. You know, so that's a big game for them. It's a big game for Stoke. You know, there's a lot of managers under pressure here and a lot of teams under pressure. A lot of teams, you know, like your Stokes, clinging to the fact that just on the edge of being dragged properly into the relegation battle, which you could argue that we're in now. But they'll be hoping for something positive from that game. And then you've got Southampton versus Everton on the Sunday, which again, Everton are looking to distance that gap between themselves and the relegation zone. Southampton, it's not going well for Pellegrino. Big games in the Premier League, and ours is one of them against Watford. It's almost like battles of the rest outside of the top six. So just a massive weekend all around, and you know, we head to Watford after, and not Watford, West Brom. And we're going to have to be honest for that one, because if we could pick up 6 points from these next two or four, that just takes all the pressure off for Chelsea. We can go to Chelsea, we can put in a positive performance like we did at Old Trafford. If we lose these two or pick up 1 point from the next two, you go to Chelsea and maybe that'll affect the manager's psychology. We might not see the attacking football for that magical first 30 that we did at Old Trafford. So, massive game is what I'm probably just repeating over and over again here. Lance, anything else you want to add to this festival of football we've got coming up?
Quick question, Mourinho. The impression that I got was that, with, you know, the media reports, is that he's not going to be ready for this Saturday. Maybe I may be completely, you know, completely incorrect there. But do you think if he's available, do you think he's going to start? Because if he starts on Saturday after having 3 weeks out, then maybe he's going to last like, what, 50, 55 minutes, possibly. Part of me was thinking if he's on the bench and it's a tight game, with 25, 30 minutes to go, not only would it give Will a lift in terms of ability on the pitch, you just know that the stadium will have this massive lift to see Mourinho come on. So I'd just be interested to know what your thoughts are on Mikel this weekend.
Sorry, do you want to take that? Simon?
What?
Do you want to take that question?
I interrupted with, you'll score the winner.
Well, so would you...
Again?
From the bench, on the starting?
Yeah, at the point when Norman said, when he comes off the bench, I said, you'll score the winner.
Right. Yeah. Very short, very sweet. Yeah, Norman, I'd start him because it's such a big game. We need our best team out from the very start. I love him, but as you all know, I'll never forgive Rafa for not playing Shelby at Brighton. And I'd hate to have a similar thing here where Mourinho comes off the bench from a 1-0 down and bosses it. And we think, what if? We're probably not in a position to be able to manage any more what ifs. So it's probably integral to me we'll get the best possible team starting. According to NFC.com, Paul Dumet is in line to make his return to the bench, or at least the matchday squad. So that'll be interesting to see whether he features straight away. Probably not, but you'd think he'd definitely feature maybe West Brom or Chelsea. That'll help though, because with two fullbacks being so small, it's being targeted by the opposition. And even though Pulis isn't there, if there's no manager, it's fucking Gary Megson, who's basically Tony Pulis like 30 years ago. Like, he's the dinosaur version of Tony Pulis.
What a compliment. Imagine putting that in your LinkedIn profile. So I've been copying Tony Pulis 30 years ago. Fucking hell.
No wonder Pulis was struggling to get new ideas. He was turning to Gary Megson. What do you think, Gary? And he's like just reinforcing Pulis's ideas from when they first met. But anyway, that West Brom with their massive team, we'll target that. against Man United, it was men against boys. I don't mean in terms of ability, but in terms of the stature of the players on the pitch. I don't know whether it came across on TV, but when you were there, Isaac Hayden, he's not a small lad, stood next to Nemanja Matic. It was like a man and a child. And, you know, there was those mismatches all over the pitch. And you had Antonio Valencia coming up against Mancio. It's just, you know, dumb little help, is what I'm trying to say in a very long-winded way. Lance, I think that's about it for this week. We've got absolutely loads of podcasts for you planned, which will come as no surprise because it's December and there is an unhealthy amount of football. I think it's been medically proved for players and managers and stuff like that. So straight after the game against Watford, we'll have a podcast out. Monday, we're doing a podcast with Mark Douglas, Chronicle, you know, editor, not editor, head of football or whatever, or, you know, head of Newcastle United stuff at the Chronicle. He's been on before, so it was a pleasure to speak to him. We'll be having a general chat about Mark, talking about his book probably a little bit, and then looking ahead to the massive week that we've got, depending on the result. We'll have Martin Hardy and Craig Hope coming up in the near future as well, so we're trying to get all the journalists on before Christmas, because we've neglected that a little bit. So we'll have previews, we'll have post-match stuff. We've got other journalists to come. We've got Daniel Story to come on, talk about his book. Loads more stuff going on. So yeah, keep with us. Keep it with the True Faith podcast over the next 6 weeks. You'll probably get sick of it, but never mind. That's what happens with football, isn't it? If Newcastle win, I'm sure everyone will be buzzing. So, lads, thank you very much, Norman and Si. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. And we will speak to you after Watford, hopefully with a win.